We are kind of going over the model prayer. As always, it seems like we're having a little difficulty getting through it. God is good. It's been a pretty rough several days, but boy, God always causes us to triumph, doesn't he? Calls us out of the hard places to meet him face to face. He is the glory. He is the glory, and he is holy. He is the glory. When we come to the burning bush of Revelation, if we expect to see anyone else, we're going to be so profoundly disappointed, because he is the glory. And his love calls us to come in to the place of his glory. Well, I'd like to get started on this and see where he'll take us. Matthew 6. I just feel like I'm going to explode inside. Explode with such divine love. It feels like I can't contain what's going on. He desires that we want him, that we desire him, that we live in constant passion, burning passion. Someone told me once, you know, you don't have to strive. And I think, oh, what does the Bible say? Strive to enter the rest. The problem is the church doesn't strive enough. And the rest is not captured because of it. He calls, we follow. But there is a war between the call and the destiny. And that war is your soul. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. I love it that the one who is prayer said, pray. And in all honesty, we are all called to be prayer. Not to come and pray for a few minutes, or an hour, or two, but to be prayer. We are called to be prayer. One might say, but I have so many responsibilities. The Lord did too. He had very, very many responsibilities. But how could he find out what the Father wanted if he didn't pray? What was the Father's will? It's revealed in prayer. So he who was prayer tells us to pray. I will tell you this, you can write it down, put it in your Bible, in a very significant place. Write it down. There is only one way into the heart of God, and that is prayer. How many ways into the heart of God? Only one. Fervent study of the Word is not the way into the heart of God, although it is very important. Meditating upon the Word is not the way into the heart of God, although that too is very important. Spending time singing and praising and worshiping God is not the way into the heart of God, although that too is very important. There's only one way. You must pray. That's when he reveals himself to you. He loves to touch you when you worship him. He loves to acknowledge your worship for your encouragement and his enjoyment. But when you pray, you intercede, you seek his face, you desire fellowship, it means so much to him that he will begin to open his heart to you. He'll help you understand his nature, his character, his ways. Please, may I say one more thing? You can do holy things, but if you want to be holy, you must be a person of prayer. It is the only way to gain the infilling of his holiness. Isn't he interesting? So many doors, so many ways into experiencing so many things about God. But the most important things of all, only one way. You must pray. He's so big, so expansive, so multifaceted in his ways and his thoughts. But he's so simple to know. Only one way. Do you remember what that is? You must pray. Don't pull out beads. You don't have to walk prayer wheels. You don't have to jump through the hoops. Just simple, childlike prayer. 30 years with the Lord, I still pray the same prayer today I prayed 30 years ago. Lord, I want to know you. And I still want to know him. That is one prayer he will allow to consume you. What I mean is this. Prayer is essence. It is spirit. Do you know what I mean by that? Do you understand? He said, I am looking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. Prayer is spirit. When you pray, the words, Lord, I want to know you, from a sincere heart, those words are spirit. And God, because those words are so important to him, they are so meaningful to him, he will allow those words to consume you. Those words being spirit, he will allow to consume your spirit. That the very essence of your heart's desire will possess you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? He'll even go one step further, as if that isn't enough. He will mingle the incense of his own desire with yours and let the two consume you. What is his desire? To let us know him. He's a profound God. He's a profound God. He is so profound. He's so wonderful. He's so beautiful. Pray therefore like this, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. The deeper you go into the heart of God, the more holy you must be. He fills you with his holiness so that you can touch the deep places in him. You can look at the temple, and there was the court of the Gentiles. Do you remember the courts? And that's how it is with God. There is this court way out here where most of the church knows him, called the court of the Gentiles. Then there's the outer court. And in that place, there is some assimilation of holiness. But while you stand in the outer court, you're looking at the place that only the high priest goes. Then there is what? The inner court. Here, again, there is an assimilation of holiness. He has imparted a measure of his holiness in you. There are certain priests that can go into this place. Those who stand in the outer court cannot go in here. There is a company who can, and they are clothed with priestly garments, because there has been a greater impartation of the holiness of God. But there's one more place, and it is in this place that the presence of God dwells. Who goes there? The one clothed with God. Everything about the priestly garment. The high priestly garment speaks of Christ. Everything speaks of an aspect of his ministry. Therefore, the high priest, the one clothed with God, he can go in to the Holy of Holies. And what does his turban say? I can't hear you. Holiness unto the Lord. What allows him the privilege to stand before the Shekinah? Holiness unto the Lord. Someone said the blood. Well, you wouldn't be getting into the inner court without that. But we're talking about something very sacred. God will not reveal the inner sanctums of himself to those who are unworthy. You must make yourself worthy. Some may get offended over that, but that's reality. You must make yourself worthy. And how do you do that? You do that by leaving the world behind. Doing the preparatory work. What must the high priest do? There's a whole ceremony. Many steps. To consecrate himself before he walks into this place, wearing the turban, holiness unto the Lord. He must be holy and completely consecrated. Not only because he speaks of Christ, but because he helps every believer understand what is expected of one who stands in that holy place. Although God loves all of his children, not all can come into the Holy of Holies. You have to be especially pure, especially holy, especially separated, especially sanctified, consecrated. My dear brothers and sisters, listen. What is more important than a visit into the Holy of Holies? What is more important? What is more important? If nothing would be more important than a visit before the Shekinah, then what could possibly be more important than living there? The days of charismata, come to an end in the outer court. You go into the Holy of Holies, everything has to be real. It's not about happy days. It is about complete fulfillment. It's not about everything going wonderfully. It's about everything dying, that it might be possessed of him. It's not about wonderful time of worship. It's about forgetting who you are, because you're consumed with him. heart is on fire with these words. There is no life except in Christ. And if it's true in the outer court, how much more true is it than in the depths of God? What is prayer about? If you're a child, it feels like it's about getting your needs met. Something happens, you need God, you pray, He answers. And you say, oh, He loves me. Am I right? But when you're an adult son, you no longer come to your father because you want something. Come to him because you want to know him. You want him to know you. You want to have fellowship with the man who gave you birth. You certainly don't want him leaving this world without you knowing who he is, what he's like. You want the inheritance of his character, of the knowledge of who he is, to pass on to your son. It's not about going to see Dad to see what he'll give you. When you're an adult son, you go to see Dad to find out who he is. And it's like that with the Father. If prayer to you is something you do to get something from God, and that is basically what prayer means to you, that in itself shows that you are a child in your faith. The Lord doesn't look upon you in judgment, criticism, or any such thing. He just knows you're one of his babes, and he treats you accordingly. But if prayer to you is a moment of meeting your Father, experiencing the revelation of himself, whatever part of himself he will allow you to know, if that's what prayer is to you, intimacy, a moment when you can open yourself up, become totally vulnerable, and like a little child, love on Daddy. With the hope that in this moment of fellowship, you're going to know something about him you didn't know before when it's over. Now, he sees you're growing up, you're maturing. When you see in his word that he requires certain behavior of you, you do it because you love him, not because you fear discipline, but because you love him. Love compels the change. When you go into prayer the next time, you want to behold his face without shame. So you obey to bring him pleasure. You desire holiness because he desires it. Because he is holy and you know you can't know him You cannot see the inner nature of him except you also be holy. You want holiness because it pleases him. You don't even understand, perhaps in the beginning, what it really means to be cocooned and swathed with his holiness, permeated, transformed by his holiness. When he has filled your inner being with something you can't get anywhere else except from him, and that is the essence of his holiness. You don't know in the beginning that when this finally occurs, it produces something inside of you that is so profoundly beautiful. You would give anything to be utterly possessed by it. And you would sacrifice any loss not to be separated from it. You didn't know that in the beginning. You don't know it until it begins to become a part of who you are. And by that time, he has developed such a love in your heart for the nature of his holiness. You don't want to offend it. You want to protect it like a mother does a cherished infant. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? Much to be desired, more than gold or gems or friends or time or possessions. The reason he says, pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, is because when we remember he is holy, it changes the inflection of our prayer. We remember before whom we stand and that he is holy. And if he is holy, he will do what he says. And if he is holy, he wants you to be holy. This is why Jesus said, pray like this. It's like it gets the whole platform of prayer off to the right start. Amen. What does it mean to be holy? What does that mean? It means that you love because he loves. It means that you forgive because he forgives. It means you don't do the things that occupy the world. I can remember years ago, 1990, I think, or 91. Well, I'll tell you exactly when it was. President George Bush, Sr., was trying to take us into the Gulf War. So that dates it. And I was trying like crazy to catch the news, because I wanted to know what was going on over this issue of the Gulf War. But I was so busy, no matter how hard I tried to catch the news, I couldn't catch it. Any spare time I had, I was spending in prayer. So I got no news. Then the angel of the Lord came and took me up in the heavens. And the first thing he said to me, or maybe it was the last thing, you have to understand, this is almost 20 years ago now. But one of the things he said to me was, how exactly did he say that? He said something. I want to say it exactly the way he said it. Something to the effect, it does not matter what man decides is going to happen. What you are to be interested in is what God decides will happen. And I knew by that, God had kept me from being able to take in the news. Because it was insignificant. It didn't matter what men were deciding. They can decide and decide and decide and decide. But if God is not in agreement, it just doesn't happen. So we concern ourselves not with the things the world thinks, not with the things that the world does, not with the things that the world wants, not the dictates of the world. But we concern ourselves with the things that God desires, the things that God thinks, the things that God wants, the dictates of heaven. If we pray any other way, we're praying amiss. So we've wasted maybe hours, days, weeks praying about something, and then when it doesn't happen, do we stand back and say, well, I wonder if that maybe wasn't God's will? What a waste of time. When you could have been in the beauty of his presence, hearing just what his will is. One prayer prayed according to his will is more powerful than 1,000 prayers prayed that are not. This is part of hallowed be your name. This is part of making his name holy. Making his will your will concerning everything you do, everything you desire. Your kingdom come. This is what I wanted to talk to you about tonight. But I think I'm going to have to wait. And we don't have Saturday, do we? Because it is Saturday. We'll have to do it next week. Last week I talked to you about an aspect of your kingdom come. The next time I talk to you about that subject, I want to talk to you about another aspect of your kingdom come. I want you to understand before I close tonight, I want you to understand one thing. There is little that is, how can I say this? There is little that you can do that is more important in this life than pray. The church today lives off of the prayers Abraham prayed. Moreover, so does Israel. How many years are we talking about? Prayer has no end. As long as it takes for God to bring about the fulfillment of what he's inspiring you to pray, your prayer holds value. There is no end. If it takes 5,000 years, the prayer holds value for 5,000 years. If it takes 10 years, then the prayer has a life of its own for 10 years. Prayer is very, very powerful. Many things happen in the world today because the church does not pray enough. You'd be amazed at how different things would be if the church prayed more. You'd be absolutely shocked if you could see things from God's perspective. If that's true on the world stage, it is also true in your life. Things could be different if you prayed more. Prayer, you might say, is a force that in heaven fills a bottle. You know how David said, "You put my tears in your bottle." Well, he also puts our prayers in his bottle. Sin has a cup. And when a nation has filled the cup of sin, God's judgment and his wrath comes upon that nation. Israel is not the only one with a cup. Every nation has one, and so does every human being. In the same respect, every person has, you might say, a prayer cup. Or let's say that every need has a cup that must be filled with prayer. When the cup is filled, it's time to answer the prayer. God has all kinds of cups, shapes, and sizes in heaven with needs written on the front of the cup. Cups which have never been filled. And therefore, these things have never come to fulfillment. You have a man whose wife is abusive, but the man hardly ever prays for his wife to be healed. And one day she dies in her sin. And the man who was a Christian thinks, "Good riddance, now I can marry someone I love." Not even thinking. He could have been the source of her restoration had he prayed. Or vice versa. A woman may be married to an abusive man, and her prayers may make the difference whether or not that man is ever freed from his behavior. That's why Jesus said to pray for those. Because the truth is, you may be the only one who ever will. Prayer is so important. You might say, I hate to use this word when it refers to heavenly and divine things, but it's such a great picture. Prayer is kind of like an assembly line type of situation. God takes you through the first part of the assembly line, brings about circumstances to develop you and to develop your prayer. You move down along the assembly line, he brings in more circumstances to further develop you and to further develop your prayer. Then he brings you down the assembly line. Do you understand what I'm saying? You'd be amazed at how many things come into your life for the purpose of developing you in Christ and developing your capacity and your authority in prayer. The problem is, for the most part, the church misunderstands these things. So instead of allowing the circumstances to develop you in maturity and authority and to develop your prayer, they instead do what? Do you know? I know none of you ever have done this. But just in case you might know someone who has, may I say it? Murmur. And they might add to murmuring, complaining. Standing next to the complaining, they might also add a little unforgiveness. And then they mix up the whole stew by adding the gravy of bitterness. But the one thing they didn't do was pray. And what happens then? God's kingdom is not brought into a fullness he would have desired. Your growth has been stunted. Not your growth, because I know you don't do that. But the growth of your friend has been stunted. And your friend's authority has been, what is the word I want? It's plateaued out. Because where you would have gained authority, you gained a bitter spirit instead. So praise the Lord. God will make you beautiful in your time if you will pray. If you will not pray, the world will make you very unattractive. The Lord will bring you face to face with his glory if you will learn to become a person of prayer. If not, you will wear the face of the old man all the days of your life. And when you stand before his throne and you see his beauty and what it could have been, what you could have been for him, it will bring you the greatest sorrow. So my encouragement to you tonight, keep his name holy by becoming a person of prayer. And in your praying, believe greatly of God. Because I can promise you, his plans for you are so far greater than you ever dreamed possible. And if it's true for you, it's true for everything in your world. Believe great of God. If you think he'll give you, if you think he'll give you a mountain like, what is an example of an average mountain? Pardon me? No, I mean a real mountain. It's good though. I don't know how tall Mount Fuji is, but you guys got the idea anyway. If you can believe of a mountain like that, just go on up the scale to Mount Everest. And believe greatly of God. Find out what's on his agenda. Find out what his plans are. And then start praying into it. And don't quit until he's done. This is how you keep his name holy. Amen. Father, holy is your wonderful name. You are great and greatly to be praised. Holy is your wonderful name, Lord. You are the glory and the honor and the power. You are the kingdom. Lord, sometimes it's so hard to believe in ourselves. But when we look into your holy word, how can we but believe in you? The Lord Jesus Christ gave us a model prayer for the purpose of knowing you the way he did. We can build castles in the sand, Lord, in this life. But if we have no castles in heaven, because we forgot to turn our eyes upward to seek the giver of life, the sustainer of all things, what have we gained? You warned us not to build our house on the sand, because it will fail if we do, but to build our house on the rock, whose founder and creator is the living God. Without you, we can do nothing. With you, we can do all things. It is amazing to me, Lord, when I look at the life of Moses. He knew what it was like to have everything. And he knew what it was like not to. He was standing on the precipice of being the greatest leader the world had ever known. He had been used to bring a nation to its knees. But in wisdom, he did not boast in any of these things. He knew. There was one thing to live for. And that was knowing the heart of God. Teach me your way, that I might know you, that I might be pleasing in your sight. He had been used in great miracles. No one else had ever come along like him. He could have been foolish, Lord, and boasted in the things he shouldn't touch. But he was wise. Because in the end, when it's all over, only one thing matters. It's not how you were used. How well we knew you. Teach us your way, Lord. That we might know you. That we might know your ways. That we might behold you. That we might be possessed of you, be owned of you. Teach us your way. This life is like a classroom, Lord. Let us not be foolish. We only have so many days in this life. None of us know what our number is. We only have so many days to learn what you put us here to learn. Give us a heart of wisdom to number our days. Help us to learn to use every breath to your glory. Help us to learn you are all that matters. Even the great Solomon understood in the end of his days, love God. When man looks upon us, Lord, whether he sees what in the eyes of man is grandeur, or whether he sees a humble, lowly human being, maybe one not even worthy of their attention, let alone respect. These things matter not. What matters is, does heaven know who we are? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Do the enemy forces know who we are? Like the angel coming to dear Daniel, much beloved. Of the kingdom. It doesn't matter if we are known here or we're not. What matters is that we obey you and that we become what you've created us to become. No more, no less. What matters is that the kingdom of darkness knows who we are and the kingdom of light knows who we are, because we are doing what you've called us to do. But more than all of this, Lord, what matters the most is, do you know us? And do we know you? We bow our knees to you tonight, Lord Jesus. We live here in this iron furnace. we get a little taste of what it means to walk in righteousness. The battles that are fought, some are won, some are lost. But we learn. But you did it perfectly. We regard you for your great love for the Father. We bow our knee to you tonight, Lord Jesus. For you alone are worthy of praise, glory, and honor. You are the treasure.